was supposed to have been there. Mm-hmm. But when the bull did the final push, and he didn't push me, he just grabbed my wrist and held my arms up and pushed me and stepped me back like 4 steps into my living room.
What did he say to you before he came?
Nothing.
No explanation?
No, just grabbed me. He held me in the middle of the living room with my arms up above my head.
Were your voices raised before this happened? Were you having an argument of some sort of any kind?
At that time, the argument had calmed down by then. Brian had already gotten himself a drink of water. Mm-hmm. And we were checking on Hannah because we were upstairs. And then when we came down to check on Hannah because she was asleep in bed, that's when I noticed the police were here because I didn't hear them upstairs, being upstairs. I couldn't hear anyone knocking or anything.
Your door was locked and then you came downstairs or your door was open?
I don't think it was locked, no.
But they didn't open it?
They didn't open it, no.
They knocked?
No, they never knocked. I never heard a knock.
So how do you know the police were out there? What was there?
Because I saw them through the window. I went and looked through the window and saw them by the door, three of them.
And so you opened the door having seen them through the window?
No, I said everything was okay.
Oh, you went up to the window and you spoke through the window?
Yeah.
The upstairs window?
No, it's downstairs. I said everything was okay, you know.
And what did they say?
He says to open the door. He asked me to open the door, please.
Which officer said that?
Grosso?
Garassi.
Uh-huh.
And what did you say to him?
What did I say? I said, no, thanks. No, I don't really want to, or I don't remember. Yeah.
Were you a dish
in the sense of, no, I didn't want to really open the door. And then he said, please, we need you to open the door. Mm-hmm. And so I cracked it open.
You cracked it up, at which point he simply...
He pushed on it, and then I pushed back, mm-hmm. and almost had it locked, and then he pushed harder.
And then what happened?
And then that's when he grabbed me and pushed my arms up, and I went back about up 2-3 feet into the living room.
Then what happened?
Then that's when Brian came running down the stairs.
Did you see Brian carrying anything?
No, I didn't. No.
What did the other officers do, or did you see them?
You know, at that point, it went really fast. All I know is Brian ran outside. I don't even know if he approached the officer that was holding me. All I know is the officer let go of my wrist at that point, and I backed up about a step or two. Because I was worried about my daughter still being in the bed. I just wanted to stay near her.
And your daughter, where was the bed with respect to?
Right behind me, in the same floor.
And the stairway led down perpendicular, or if I'm opening the door and you're Officer Garazio, and
it was parallel.
It was parallel.
The stairs are the same, come down the same direction that the living room and the kitchen are.
So let's suppose I'm Garazio and you're opening the door. I push you in. Where's the stairway? Is it right directly behind you?
No, it would be in front of him to his right.
This way?
Yeah.
Okay. And?
And there's no room to swing. Brian did not swing because if he did, he would have hit the pole or a wall.
So the claim that Garazio makes that he was hit on his hand in the house, which is at least the claim that appears in the Mercury News of Wednesday, is not accurate?
No, that's not accurate.
Did you have any sense at all that any swinging took place in the house?
No, because nothing, he would have had to hit, because our place is very small, it's a studio. Mm-hmm. And he would have had to hit something else to make a full swing, and I didn't even see anything in Brian's arms.
Yeah.
I saw him running down very fast, and I know that the police officer let go of my arms, and that's when I took 2 steps back, or a step back. Mm-hmm. And Brian went out. I know Brian went straight outside. I thought he went straight out. He might have taken a step or two towards the cop and then went outside. But I remember him going just straight outside. And then you got to go straight, turn left, and turn right to get even outside. Mm-hmm. Or to get to either side, the left or the right, depending.
Do you have a view of what went on outside, or did you not see that?
No. The curtain was wide open, and in fact, the door was wide open, and I don't know what happened.
What was the next thing you saw or heard?
Shots, but I didn't know they were shots. I thought it was something else. I don't know. It didn't.
Little pops or firecrackers?
Yeah, I thought, I don't know. It didn't comprehend to me that they had gunned him down.
And then what did you do?
And then I freaked out and ran outside and grabbed all their names, wrote down all their names, and...
What were they doing when you came
standing,
up?
Standing. All four of them were right there, right in close range, that I could walk up to them and I know exactly where they were standing.
Where was Brian?
He was laying on the ground, half on the cement on the sidewalk and half on the grass.
Where was the baseball bat?
I didn't see a baseball bat. I never seen a baseball bat. And I never saw it.
We saw a bat on the grass later, but that was like a half an hour later. We came a half an hour later.
I never seen the bat. I never saw the bat. And
what did the officers say to you when you came out?
Nothing, not too much. I just wrote down their names and
were their guns out, or were they having
no,
put away?
No, but they were standing really close to Brian. I know exactly where they were standing. I could.
What did the attitude seem to be? Were they talking to each other?
No, they were quiet and just with all the commotion, just kind of quiet and just standing there. This one, Garacio, had moved. I got his name first, and then the other ones, and by the time I got the Henning one, Henning wasn't really looking at me, he was backing up, or talking to someone else, but I still got
Sergeant
him.
Henning.
Yeah. And then I looked up, and Garacio was over, up on the top of the heel of the grass, on the sidewalk, standing there, kind of nervous.
Did any of them attempt to give medical attention to
Brian? No, they didn't need medical attention. They were all standing and just standing there watching Brian, I guess.
How was Brian dressed?
At that time, he had on just shorts, and they had him cuffed.
They had him cuffed?
Yeah.
So when you came out, he was cuffed?
Yeah, and laying on, face down with his face to his left, looking over. And I went over there, and I think I touched him or looked at him. I don't know. At this time, I was out of it. But he said something about being numb. And I still didn't comprehend that they shot him.
So nobody brought a blanket to cover him up?
No. And I went back in because I freaked out and to check on my daughter. And at that point, all the people started coming and stuff, and I was freaking out, and I was just worried about my daughter.
How was your daughter? Did you eventually take care of her?
Yeah, she was asleep through the whole thing. She didn't hear a thing.
Wow. A number of shots apparently were fired. You weren't aware there were shots when they were fired, but you said that eventually a bullet hit inside the house?
Two
bullets.
Yeah, one close to my daughter, close to the bed over the kitchen table, and like 12 feet or 10 feet from her, and then one up on top. There's a wall because it's a loft, so.
There were children in the neighborhood playing at the time who witnessed the shooting, as far as you know?
Yeah, that's what I heard, yeah. We had just gotten home from going to the beach, checking out the boats, the fighting ships over on the harbor. You know how they had that demonstration, the mock demonstration of a battleship?
I haven't heard of it, but I believe it.
Yeah, they were doing that, and we just gotten home, and he went out to go surfing, and I laid her down for a nap. But yeah, kids always play on right there.
I understand Brian is kind of a friend of the neighborhood kids. He skateboards with them.
He lends them his skateboard. He's lent them their skateboard.
Because they spoke of him in a very friendly fashion.
Yeah,
when we talked about him.
They've come over and asked to use his skateboard, and he lets them. He gives it to them.
We understand that a witness from across the street, and I'm not thinking of the Petersons, I'm thinking of another woman who was a bus driver, saw some of the incident that happened on the lawn. Do you know who that might have been, what her name might have been?
No.
Apparently, she allegedly saw some of the striking with the bat. We didn't talk to her yet, but we heard this sort of second and third hand. We're trying to track it down. We'll get the information to you if we can. What happened after you went in and calmed down?
I didn't calm down. I was freaking out. I was just like out of it.
Checked on your daughter.
I just kind of closed the curtains and kind of tried to hide myself, I guess.
How did you feel?
You know what? I was just totally numb. I was just like, I can't believe this. I was like on automatic, you know, taking care of my daughter and starting to cook her dinner, thinking, oh, she's got to wake and she's got to eat. And that's when they busted in. They knocked quite a few times and I wouldn't let them in because I was scared.
Did you try to call a neighbor?
No, not until I realized what was going on in the hotel because I didn't have my numbers at that time.
Did the police then tell you at some point that you had to come with them?
Yes. They told me when they opened the door to get my stuff together.
And how long after the shooting did that happen?
Maybe half hour, less than a half hour.
What was your reaction to that?
I was still numb, kind of like working on automatic. And just what they said. Yeah, freaking out. I don't know. I was just trying to get things together, and I didn't because I forgot a few things.
Do you remember Rick Peterson, the neighbor from across the street, coming over and offering to help you with a lawyer at some point?
Yeah, he offered to take Hannah, and he also offered assistance, yes.
And what did the police
do? And I kind of just looked up at him, still out of it, and shook my head yes, but no to taking my child because I didn't want to, you know. And then that's when the cops told him to get away, you know, really abruptly.
Were the police, you think, protecting you, or
protecting me, that's obvious, because the bullets were too close to me for them to be tricking me in the first place,
right.
And for manhandling me that way. They were not concerned about me or my child.
What about in the circumstance with Peterson? Were they trying to protect you there?
He came to see if I was all right.
So Peterson was trying to protect you?
Yeah, he came to take Hannah to ask if, he said, don't worry about the legal help, it'll be covered.
And the police then attempted to what, insulate you from him to stop him from getting...
Well, they told him to leave, yeah. They told him to get out of the area.
What was his reaction to that?
I don't know. I don't recall.
Did you attempt to contact anybody after the shooting?
I talked to his grandma, Dorothy, and then... Right after the shooting, and then I locked myself into the apartment, freaking out.
Naturally. what did you tell Dorothy? What was
just that they shot his her grandson, and I don't know, just because he was upset about his father, because he did come home yelling, but I wasn't yelling. He was just yelling, and I was trying to calm him down. He was upset about a lot of things, you know, and family always plays its part in that.
He went out and adjusted the car, which had been parked right up on the curb or something.
Yeah, he came and drove it on the grass, and then I put it on the street curb.
Was that frequent or a rare occurrence?
It was very rare. That's not like Brian, and he doesn't throw bottles out of the car. He doesn't drink while he's driving.
Were any bottles thrown?
I don't know, but I don't think so.
Did you see any neighborhood children watching who you recognized?
Oh, yeah. Well, not that I recognized, but I saw a lot of people. I just saw a lot of people. I didn't see faces. Faces didn't come clear at that point, just people, lots of people, and they were all coming close.
Did you want to leave the house when the police told you to leave?
No, I didn't.
And what
I said you have to go down to the police station.
And did you then go?
I don't know. I didn't know my rights.
What happened at the police station?
Oh, they left me there for 4 hours, my daughter starving, and then they finally came in and talked to me.
4 hours?
I think it was four, from 6, 7, 8, 9, 30, 3 and a half.
And who eventually spoke to you, do you know?
Yeah, Joseph, he's a district attorney.
District attorney?
Hanard.
And what kind of questions did they ask you?
A whole bunch. But you know what, I want to talk to John. I mean, yeah, John Thornton right now, because I need to get...
I'll let you go. I'll call you up.
Okay.
Thanks.
Mm-hmm.
One last question. When that press release, you said there were a couple of inaccuracies. Anything else you remember that was inaccurate in that press release that you just read? The page, remember?
The fax page that you gave me?
Yes.
What did it say? Just the part that he pushed me. He didn't push me. He grabbed my wrist right away and just held them up and we took like three giant steps back and one's a step down.
Is there anything missing from that press release that you think should be there that would tell the public what actually happened?
I can't think right now. Can you catch me? A little bit, okay?
And finally, how many times was he shot?
He was shot 4 or 5 times. It's still not clear. I don't have the medical files yet.
And has John gotten the actual police reports? Or
no,
is it
still not.
Thank you very much, Lori.
Mm-hmm.
And that was Lori Andrus, whose husband, Brian Andrus, was shot 4 or 5 times by the police, is being held in the police lockup in jail on felony charges of assaulting the police after police broke into his house allegedly to deal with a domestic violence complaint. Well, to deal with a domestic violence complaint, which apparently wasn't happening, and then shot him 4 or 5 times. You're next going to hear from another member of that family.
That's where you can call us.
Okay.
You're Dorothy?
I'm Dorothy.
Hi, Dorothy. I'm Robert. How do you do? So you were called immediately after the shooting by Lori.
I think she called me. I think she was right around 7 o'clock she called me. I can't remember the exact time, but I know it was early in the evening, and it was just, she was so upset. I mean, because they had grabbed her to me and just held on to her. And she didn't know what it was all about. I mean, of course, Brian saw it. Beyond that, I just don't know. But it said in the paper down there that she was holding the baby, which she wasn't. I asked her at the time, I said, well, how's him? And she said, well, she's fine. She said she's never even woke up.
But apparently two bullets did come into the
house. They certainly did, right in where she was, yes. What if she'd heard all that noise and woke up?
Or what if the bullets hit some of the other children who were watching from the street?
Yes. Terrible.
Does Brian have a history of violence? Or?
Brian has never been violent. He lived with me for a few years. His last year of high school, and then he came back and lived there for a couple of years after that. And never once Was he ever violent? Never. He's more of a quiet person. He's sort of quiet, but he has that, you know, dark look and everything about him. It's just, he's a very gentle person. He never, ever touched his wife. Never.
You've never heard any complaints from Larry?
No. Well, she told me. She says never has he ever touched her. You know, he loves that baby. He takes care of her. Well, Larry works the whole time. He was working nights and she was working days, and they just straight it off. And she loves her daddy.
How's he doing? Have you spoken to him? We saw him wheeled into court today. Have you spoken to him?
The only time I spoke to him was just after that last court appearance. We went over to the where he was, in Fermi, I guess that's where it was. Wherever it was, and Linda and I went in. His mother and I were all on the phone thing, you know. But he couldn't tell me much of anything because I didn't want him to explain anything to me because of the possibility that I didn't want him listening to us.
Right. So he was being tried for serious felony charges.
Yes. But I don't understand why they don't let him shave and clean up and take baths. He's only had one bath since he's been in there.
Is that right?
That's right. And he can shave. Look how he looked today. Look at all the other prisoners there.
Yeah.
They're perfectly shaved, clean, look nice.
Did you ask the prison authorities why that this was happening?
I bet Linda's going to have to, or the attorney.
Linda is?
His mother.
Yes.
Yeah. But his wife, I mean, she's really upset about it all. It's hard on her. You know, he lost his job over this, and he lost his benefits, which is really hard on the family. Because he carried all the benefits. Well, there is medical and that. Benefits.
I understand Lori has lost her room.
Yes. Yep. She's only got, I think it's a week more to stay in there, a week and a half, something like that.
She hasn't found a place.
She hasn't found a place. If she did, she's only got her little salary. I can't understand how they could say that he's not ever, ever mine.
How often have you seen him in the last year? Is he a frequent guest or visitor?
He comes over often. I've seen that baby. They've had baby over a lot. In the last,
once a week?
Oh, no. Maybe once a month. Maybe not even quite that, but and they've been over there a few times, too. They keep the place real nice, and he takes care of the baby. When she works, he takes care of the baby full-time.
Now, you may remember in court, the police say he had a long record. What do they mean by that?
They mean little things he's done over the years. I think over here he had, I don't remember what exactly that was, but all these other things have been, I can't remember exactly what they're, but they're all just little things he should have made just a better decision is all. He never did anything violent. He never did anything to hurt anybody. His decisions were bad. But other than that, at that time, he probably should have been on medication, which he wasn't, because I didn't know he made it.
What medication were we talking about?
You have to ask his mother, because I don't understand that part of it, because he never took anything while he lived with me.
But you regarded him as you never saw him acting violently?
Never. I could yell at him and everything else and make him mad at him. Never back, never.
Don't try yelling at those police officers.
No.
Any just general reactions to the fact that he's being held for unserious charges, that the officers broke down the door, not being charged with anything and were exonerated? Broke down the door is inaccurate. Forced their way into Larry's house.
They did, yep. They forced her in because she didn't want them to come in. She said she didn't need them. And they shoved their foot in there and pushed their way in. I thought they couldn't do that. And they grabbed her.
It wasn't. She said they didn't put their foot in, but she reached in apparently and pushed in. But they did force their way in, according to Lori.
They forced their way in.
They admitted that. The claim is that they feared domestic violence was going on because there had been raised voices earlier. But Lori says at that time there were no raised voices, and they claimed there was blood on the door based on the cut on his hand.
Well, because he left the keys in the car and he broke the window of the car to get in.
Right. It shows he was somewhat upset.
Yeah, he was very upset with himself for having left it in there. Mm-hmm. He wasn't upset with anybody else, himself.
Right.
Because he'd done that. She was fixing his hand for him. Like she said, she was 5 inches from his face while she was doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Never.
And there was no...
All they had to do was look at her, come in halfway decent, and look at her to see where the baby was, what was happening in there. They didn't have to come in and grab her and treat her like that. I mean, you know, they could say, can we come in, look around? That's all they had to do. See our house, they looked through the refrigerator, they looked through everything, which was fine. They didn't have anything to find there. When they took Laurie over to the police station, let her stay over there, why, they went back and went through the house, about 5 hours worth. Have you ever heard that? Just a domestic problem where he's not killing her or doing anything else to her?
Well, they want to cover their tracks. That's my analysis.
Hi, sweetie. Did you see Debbie? Did you see Debbie? Yeah. She waved at him.
Yeah.
He grabbed it. He took her hand and he went out.
Thank you, Dorothy. Anything you want to add to this?
Right. Just the fact that I love him. I don't care what they say about him. I know he's a good man, and I know that my children do, and my grandchildren all love him, because they're much younger than he is. All you have to do is look at his family life with his wife, and then they can see a lot of that. They should be able to tell a lot. Just by the way he treats them.
He's not a drinking man?
Nope.
Yeah, there was claimed that he had altercations with the police before in terms of a dispute with a Capitola deputy or a sheriff or something.
I've heard, read that in the paper, but before that I didn't know anything about it. I've seen it. I didn't know.
Wow. Well, we're going to be playing this on the radio. We'll let you know when it's playing, and you can...
I can
get you a tape.
That would be great.
And we'll probably be getting a tape to Lori, so she can pass it on to you. And again, your full name is?
Dorothy Andrus, A-N-D-R-U-S.
Next door.
You know that because of his name.
Yeah. It's good that you say so, though. And, thank you.
Thank you.
That was Dorothy Andrus, the grandmother of Brian Andrus, who was shot 4 times by the police after they broke into his house over the objections of his wife in a domestic dispute call, as they conceived it. It was actually simply a case of raised voices, if you believe Brian Andrus and Lori Andrus' story, and also the accounts of their neighbors. We're going to continue with these series of interviews from Friday, 2 days ago, in the corridors of the Santa Cruz Municipal Court. Actually, it may even be in Superior Court. It's the arraignment of Brian Andrus, where he is now charged with multiple felonies, and he's being held on $100,000 bail. Next, you're going to hear Brian Andrus' mother speaking. And hopefully the Andrus family, some of the Andrus family is listening to this, and if they have any thoughts or comments, they're invited to call in, as are any other listeners. Our phone number is 423-5361, and you're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3. The number again to call in, 423-5361.
Thank you for making an effort to help him, as you are, and just doing this.
I have a particular interest. I'm concerned about police misconduct.
Absolutely.
And it looked like police misconduct based on the witnesses that we've heard. They claim that, you know, he was striking with a bat, but every witness we spoke to had no such story. Now, maybe there's a witness we haven't heard yet, but still, they could have found another way. Yeah. They didn't.
They didn't find anything in his house, I know that. Unless I planted it there, they didn't find anything in his house. I mean, he has no guns, he has no knives that he was ever touching, he has no nothing. So it's hard.
It is hard.
So,
I mean, I can imagine I've been there feeling it. So.
I just worry about the baby and Lori and them. First thing in his life, he's really had a good family life, happy life. He loves her, and he knows she's been really good to him.
Thanks.
Every family has a little dispute.
Mm-hmm.
could have they had occasional arguments.
Yeah.
And that's, actually that could be helpful.
A lot of that loud noise and everything was just because he cut himself and was mad at himself. It's just too bad.
Thank you. Barbara, you're Brian's aunt, as is probably reported.
Yeah.
You came all the way over the hill from Millbrae?
Yes.
And we saw Judge Attic here keep a $100,000 bail on Brian. Is he so dangerous he requires a $100,000 bail? Would he not show up for this? What do you think?
he's not dangerous, that's for sure.
I can't believe. Excessive to me.
Oh, really?
That's very quiet.
Very quiet. Very quiet, very...
I'm feeling I'm afraid of him in a bit.
No. You want to run out and attack you with a bat here?
No, never.
Right. Well, I know there's bats in this situation, but I won't say. Mm-hmm. I can see...
This is Linda Andrus.
Hi, Linda.
Brian Andrus' mother.
Hi.
Hi.
I was just talking to your...
Mother-in-law.
I'm sure your mother or your mother-in-law, but we were talking about how there's a $100,000 bail set on Brian. Is he likely to flee the jurisdiction if a lesser bail is set?
No, there's his family's here, his baby's here. We're here. He's not going anywhere. There's nowhere for him to go. He has a job here, a family, you know. My uncle's offered to have him live with him so he can recuperate properly. He's not going anywhere.
Now, Judge Attuck said in the court hearing today that he saw that he had a previous failure to appear on his record. Do you know anything about that?
I don't know anything about that. I haven't seen the records. I don't know.
Going back a bit, what was your reaction when you heard this had happened?
Heard? I read it in the paper Monday morning.
Oh my God.
That's what I heard about it.
So?
Nobody contacted me.
What a shocker.
Oh. Wow, and Monday, of course, that was the day after.
I was trying to find out where he was. So I have a brother that lives in San Jose, and he called all the hospitals. He found one hospital that was giving him more information than he was giving them, so he figured that's where they were. And I went down there, hoping he was there. And he was.
And they let you see him?
No.
At that point, he was in critical condition?
Yes. That was Monday night.
Finally, did they ever let you see him? Have you been able to see him?
Monday night, we got a court order, finally. Monday night, I viewed him through, the officer would not let me go in the room. I viewed him through the window. Tuesday, I took my daughter-in-law down so she could at least look at him through the window because I understood that's all we could do. And the police officer pulled a curtain in her face so she couldn't even see him through the window. So here's a man who's traumatically injured, whose family is not able to touch him. He's shackled to the bed. He couldn't move. He was out as he would be trying to recover. We were not able to touch him or let him know that we were there, that his wife was alive. He did not know his wife was alive or what had happened to her. He didn't know anything until we got the court order. And then finally, the first time we saw him, at the doorway, they put a table between us and the bed, and Lori and I sat on the outside of the room and talked to him. And he was very, very weak. This was by Wednesday. And it was just a hassle to see him. We have to go to the jail first to get the paperwork, and then go over for 1 hour to see him at the hospital. I'm a 55-year-old grandmother. I was frisked twice.
Again, to clarify, we are listening to Linda Andrus, the mother of Brian Andrus, who was shot by police 4 times 3 weeks ago and is now being multiply charged for allegedly assaulting police officers with a bat. You're hearing Brian Andrus's mother, Linda, talking about how she was treated when she attempted to get in touch with Brian, who was first in serious and then in critical condition at the hospital. You heard her say that She was not even informed by the police department, medical authorities, or anyone until the next day. And she actually wasn't informed at all. She read it in the papers. We're listening again to Linda Andrus talking about this situation 2 days ago.
Without even being allowed to go in the room. It was really hard. So the only way he's lived is that he's really strong, physically and mentally, because he didn't have his family there at all to let him know that we're there for him, or that his wife and baby were okay. He didn't even know if his wife and baby were okay while he's trying to recover. It's been really hard. It's hard to process.
Unbelievable, the unnecessary cruelty to family members and friends. And I view Brian Andrus as a victim here. He's a victim of police violence. And then the police taking the law.